Grace, mercy, and peace be yours, in the name of the one who said, "Behold, I am coming soon." We'll focus on words I read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I'll just read one verse at this time. "So that he may establish your hearts as blameless in holiness before our God and Father, when our Lord Jesus comes with all his saints." The word of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I have a confession to make. I love Christmas music. I started listening to Christmas music before Thanksgiving. And of course, my phone has this station that I have an app for. It's called Life 102.5. And they've been playing Christmas music on their radio for consecutive time ever since. One of the reasons I like the Christmas music is it simply reminds me it could be today. It could be today that I get to see Jesus. And there's also a lot of these Christmas wishes that the radio station will talk about. Heartwarming tales of people who maybe lacking something, and they have a wish. But they're really not selfish wishes. Hard-working dad who's doing all he can to provide for his family. He sacrifices so much, but suddenly the school says, your kids need gym shoes, different than those street shoes they've been wearing. And he doesn't know where he's going to get the money for these gym shoes. When all of a sudden, someone very generous, kindly, makes sure those shoes in just the right size and just the nicest style have arrived. Or the single mom who is struggling because she's unemployed, she's trying to make ends meet, and someone shows up. Someone shows up with a big catered turkey dinner with all the fixings, and everything is cozy. Those are the Christmas wishes, those neat things that remind you there are people who, for this time of year, they just dig a little deeper and become just a little bit more generous. I love those wishes. But here, we've got God himself who's proclaiming his Christmas wishes for you to have a real Christmas. That's what the worship theme is. And a real Christmas has very little to do with whether you listen to Christmas music on the radio from Thanksgiving on or not. It has everything to do with your heart. God wants for you to have a heart of gold. And that means it's going to have faith in God. He also wants you to have increased love for others. And we see that here in Paul's letter. Scholars think this may be the very first of the New Testament books written. I think it was Galatians myself, but many people think 1 Thessalonians is the very first letter that Paul wrote. And to give you a little bit of background, the Thessalonians, or the Macedonians, as you heard about a couple weeks ago when Pastor was talking about the faith, the generosity of the Macedonian Christians, and how it was a model for everybody. Well, that's this congregation. He'd only spent 3 weeks there. Imagine if you had a pastor for 3 weeks and then he was gone. Wow. So just a tiny seed was planted in that congregation. Just a couple of Bible information classes and a little bit of preaching. And then a riot broke out. And you think about a riot these days, you wouldn't want anything to do with the riot. I wouldn't either. And of course, Paul's life was in danger. And they had to rush them out because Jewish troublemakers had basically spread these rumors and it was unsafe for them to be in the city. And of course, Thessalonica was a big city, like 200,000, and there were many hostile people there. There were many idolatrous people there. This little church, this fledgling 3-week-old church, how would it hang in there? Would it make it? Or would it be squished by persecution and holy worship? Who would care for it? Who would tend that little seed that had been planted? So Paul writes, he writes to them, and you can hear his fatherly heart. He has a longing to see them again. But this is how he starts the whole letter. We always thank God for all of you. Your faith has become known everywhere. What? Yes, young Timothy, pastor, he was sent back kind of covertly because he hadn't been harmed by this riot. He wasn't a person of interest. He could sneak back into the city and check on how the congregation was doing. And wow, did he have a whopper of a report to tell Paul. They're not just hanging in there. They're flourishing. They're growing. They're sharing their faith. There are people who are joining the church, not squishing. Wow. This model congregation, this was how to thrive in persecution and challenges. Your faith has become known everywhere. People are talking about you. Well, this isn't the largest congregation in our whole synod. You probably know that. But people talk about Christ. They talk about this church. Now, I'm not saying that to puff you up. I'm just reminding you that small isn't necessarily bad. You can still flourish. And you can still share your faith. That heart of gold is our love for God and His Word and His work evident to others. Do people know you as people of faith with a heart of gold? I realize that's easier said than done. It takes effort. It takes effort in our stewardship, our time, our talents, our treasure. It takes effort in how we think less of ourselves and more about others. That is effort that is always worth it. Because we have many enemies. Enemies such as the world and our own sinful flesh. And of course, that scoundrel, the devil. He always tempts us to put other things on the throne that belongs to Jesus. You know those things. Oh, it's your time. It's your time because it is your time, right? Is it? Or is it the time that God gives you in your time of grace? And of course, your stuff, it is your stuff, isn't it? Or is it all a gift from God that you can't take with you no matter what? It is so easy to become distracted by these enemies who would try to keep us from prayer, try to keep us from sharing the Word of God, try to squish our faith. Now, don't get Paul wrong here. He's not saying that you have to muster up yourself this kind of heart of gold. He doesn't say, my dear friends, I pray night and day to see you in person and to supply what is lacking in your faith, but you better do your part. He doesn't say that, does he? No. Notice, he doesn't say if there's something lacking in your faith, you need to get to work on that. What does he say? He says this, I pray that God would supply it. And how is God going to supply whatever you're lacking? He's going to do it with that word. The word of God is living and active. It is powerful. It is what connects you to Christ. It is the holy sacrament that strengthens and nourishes your faith. These are the ways God will supply what is lacking. So maybe you don't feel like you've got anything that you're lacking. I know I do. If we're honest, we all do. How easy the devil, the world, my own sinful flesh have taken me once again down the wrong path. And I need God to supply. Maybe it's forgiving somebody that you've been holding a grudge against. Maybe it's not praying for your enemies. After all, persecutors, they're jerks. Why would I pray for them? Maybe it is generosity as you think about others who are certainly more need than you and I are. Whatever it is, Paul says, God's word will nurture that faith. It will take that mustard seed and grow it. And that's why he says, you can have a heart of gold. I think of the widow who gave in everything. Her two little bronze coins, but she had a heart of gold, and Jesus saw that. You think of ways that you here can share your faith. Write it door count. Ways that you can support the work that goes throughout the whole world. Paul says, you can trust God. Instead of worrying so much, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. You never have to. And what will this strengthened faith, this heart of gold, lead to? Well, it's natural. It's going to lead to increased love for others, overflowing love. He says, may the Lord increase your love and make it overflow for each other and for all people, just as ours does for you. He wanted to see these people again. He even prayed, may God open up the way for that to happen. 3 weeks was just too short. And a few years later, he comes back through. We read it in Acts chapter 20, that God opened up the way. And he gets to spend 3 months with them. And how that must have been joyful for the Macedonian churches to see Paul, their founding pastor, their father in the faith, and how joyful it was to be together again. He had seen strength and faith overflowing in love. They were generous, giving even beyond their ability, begging Paul, help us. Let's be a part of this. Let's really make sure that we're giving people. And they were. All not to get heaven. They'd already been given that. All because they knew the one thing needful. The one thing needful is God's word. And they wanted others to hear too. Paul says, here's God's Christmas wish for you, that he may establish your hearts as blameless and holiness, or heart of gold, one that is pure, right? God's doing the work here. All before God our Father, who sees your heart, and because of Jesus, he sees his Son. He sees perfection. He sees righteousness. He sees blamelessness, all through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So, God is going to care for you. Overflowing love is something he promises will increase as you stay connected to him. I'd like to share a little story about how that happened for a modern-day girl who I think had it way worse than any of us will ever have. This was from a book I was reading called Hearts on Fire. And in that book, there's little vignettes, about 7 of them. The girl that I read about, she was born in a predominantly Buddhist area in Nepal. And all I know about Nepal is it's got a high mountain, and it doesn't sound very inviting for me to go visit anytime. But this girl was 13 years old when her sister had invited her to a Christmas concert, a Christmas service. And she always was curious, what do these Christians teach? And she went and she heard that God loved us so much that he became one of us, that he took on flesh and became a little baby, a human baby, yet he's still God. And he grew up perfect, keeping God's holy laws, and laid down his life to die for us as the Lamb of God. And he didn't stay dead. He rose, and he promised heaven that all who trust in him go there. And this girl, who was 13 at the time, had never heard anything as wonderful and heartwarming as that. So she went home, and her parents, who were Buddhist, heard her talk about her best friend, her loving God, who became flesh, Emmanuel. And I have two girls. I wouldn't kick them out of my house for anything. But this is what her parents said. You need to renounce that right now, or you don't get to stay here. There will be no Christian in this. And they kicked her out. So she went to live for a time with her sister, who had invited her to that Christmas concert. And she began to grow in her faith. She read more. She read about the little servant girl of Naaman. Remember that story and how that servant said, if only you would know who the true God is, and shared her faith. So she began sharing with others what she knew of Jesus and handing out tracts and brochures in the language of the people. Well, just like Paul encountered a lot of trouble in Thessalonica, there was a riot over that. And this girl got sent to one of those prison camps because of it. Can you imagine? Here she is, sharing the good news, peace through Jesus, and she's in prison, treated very badly. I read the conditions in the book, and I thought, well, this was no place for a 13-year-old. And she was not only picked on, but also beaten by some of the other prisoners, mistreated. And I thought, how can that little seed of faith keep growing in that kind of condition? But it did. She still had her tracts with her, and she would read them, and the little scriptures that she had, and she would still share her faith. Well, she'd get more and more persecuted because of it. There was one fellow named Uncle who would regularly come to all the prisoners in the camp, and if they had a list, they'd save up their little prison allowance, whatever they got for doing the little tasks, and he'd say, I'm going into town, who needs what? And Uncle would always come to her, and she said, I don't need anything, God takes care of me. And he said to her, why do you always save your prison allowance? What are you going to do with it? And she thought, I can't take it with me, can't I? Okay, Uncle, come on back here. And she wrote everything down on her list, her Christmas wish list. And she gave it to Uncle. She said, buy everything. He looked at the list and said, okay. He came back and brought the stuff on her list. And suddenly in the prison camp, everyone smelled some things they hadn't smelled in a long, long time. What you doing in there? What is that Christian doing? She was cooking. And the finest of chickens and vegetables had all been brought by Uncle. And she said, it's all ready. Come and feast. And the prisoner said, what's the catch? We've been nothing but mean to you. She said, no catch. No catch at all. I just wanted you to know the love of Jesus. He invites us to a feast. He says, anyone who trusts in him can come and be in his wonderful heaven and sit at the table and have a feast. I just wanted you to know the love of Jesus. And as they ate, they realized, wow, there is something to this. This overflowing love for people who are even enemies. And there was one woman there. She became kind of like a mother, even though before she had really picked on her. She became like a mother and eventually worked to have her released so that she got out. And she continues to this day to share the faith over there. I read that story and I thought, I'm definitely not overflowing with love the way that this girl is. But how can I be somebody else's Christmas wish? I think that if you look at that little candle there, it's got light, it's got energy, it's got warmth, and it's growing. And week by week, the light is going to increase. As you think of how the Holy Spirit gives us everything we need, that warmth, that light, that energy to show the love of Jesus, may you find time, extra time. Maybe you sit at home with your own Advent wreath, but maybe you do those devotions that are provided in many ways. Think of the girl who, even though she must have been feeling so lonely, found her peace, found her joy in Jesus, and may that love of God with the heart of gold and faith in God continue to be increased in your love for others. And if you have that, that's everything you could possibly want on your list. It's not on Amazon, it's not in the store, but you'll really be ready to celebrate the coming of our Savior. Amen.